When we think about Jesus Christ, our Savior, we see Him as He's portrayed in Scripture, and there are numerous passages that identify Him as the Son of God, and there are affirmations about Him, and we're going to talk about affirmations about Jesus this morning. Be a little different than sometimes some of our lessons, but first of all, we will remember that Jesus was going out to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. And when he was baptized of John, John first of all said that he needed to be baptized of Jesus and not the other way around. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so. In other words, that all scripture might be fulfilled and so forth. But nonetheless, Jesus came up out of the water, we understand that the Spirit of God descended on him in the form of a dove, and a voice out of heaven, Matthew 3:17, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's a divine affirmation of who Jesus is and was. And then sometime later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John onto a mountain, and there he is transfigured before them, and appearing with him are Moses and Elijah. And some have conjectured that Moses represented the law and Elijah the prophets. Whatever the case, we have no information other than that they conferred with him about his coming death. And the point is that Peter was taken up in the emotion of the thing, and he proposed, let's build three, he said, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for Christ. And the voice out of heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. Once again, an affirmation from the Father concerning his Son. And we find Peter referring to this later on also, when in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and in verse 17, he says, 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 17. And he says, for he was speaking of Jesus Christ, he said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice unto him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So Peter is saying, I was there, and we heard God affirming that this is my Son. And Jesus Christ is affirmed throughout Scripture, obviously, as the Son of God. John 1, beginning, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same, he goes on to say, nothing was made that he did not make. And in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So all through Scripture, we have this kind of an affirmation. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, where Tom Sater read for us, Tom read it, from the second chapter, beginning in verse 12. And here in the second chapter, in verse 12, it says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I sing praise, and again I will put my trust in him, and behold, I and the children whom God has sent me. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also partook in like manner, himself in like manner took of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. So he came for this purpose, to deliver us and to deliver people from the bondage of sin. And I suspect that everyone here would say, I understand these statements about Jesus, and he is either the Christ or he is not, and we believe that he is. But how about us and our affirmations concerning him and what we say? There has been quite a bit of teaching done here with reference to singing praises to God and teaching and admonishing one another. Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we spend some time trying to learn new songs and to learn to better present these songs in praise to God and in worship to him, as well as teaching and admonishing one another. And so when we think about that, we need to be thinking about the words. And several men have talked about that in the past, about the words that we sing, and we praise God and all those kind of issues that come from singing. But Paul said also in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and verse 13, he says, what is it then? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the Spirit also. He said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the Spirit also. He is not talking about the Holy Spirit in this case. He's talking about we with our spirits pray to God. And we pray and we sing in the same way. We sing with grace in our hearts. We sing with, and we must understand the kind of things that we're saying and sing in a way that gives understanding. My spirit sings. Your spirit sings. So this morning, we're going to do something that's just a little different from that standpoint, and you may want to get your songbook out, and we're going to talk about some of these affirmations as we find them and as we sing them. And the point is, we need to be thinking about what we sing. In number 110, we have the song that says, My Jesus, I love you, thee. Surely we love the Lord. We're to love God, the Father, certainly, and Jesus is God as well, and we are to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And if I were to ask, do you love Jesus as you sing this song? It goes on to say, for thee all the follies of sin I resign. We're affirming when we sing that we are putting sin aside in our lives. And it says, I will love you in life. I will love you in death and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. Two things in this, not beyond the matter of love. I will love you not just in life, but in death and praise you as long as you give me breath. Do we affirm that? I believe this is a strong commitment if we really mean it. And the emphasis this morning is that we need to understand when we sing praises to God and when we sing songs one to another, we need to be meaning the words that we're singing. We're not just singing something that we've memorized and it has no real meaning to us. And so we look on. We go to number 414. And once again, my Jesus, I love you. This one says, oh, how I love Jesus. And the oh here is an emphasis. It's like a man would say to his wife, he might say, I love you. But then he says, oh, I love you. He's emphasizing the fact that she's special in this. And so it says, oh, how I love you. And it says there's a name I love to hear. The sweetest name on earth. You think about that, what we're saying. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then his name has a special place for us. In the book of Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 9, it says, wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave unto him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In this case, it's my understanding that the name here is not Jesus. The name here that is given to him that is above every name is Lord. He is Master. God has exalted him. And it says we have in Matthew 28 and verse 18 that Jesus said, it says, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And so God has exalted him and given him this name that is above every name. But the song goes on to say, it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. We understand that Christ died on the cross to set us free from sin. And we're affirming our appreciation for that. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. If we go to God and Jesus had not died on the cross, we have no means of approaching him because our sins would not be forgiven and Christ is our hope. And so it is our hope in Christ that we are concerned about. And in the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning in verse 18, it says, knowing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. So we are redeemed by the blood. Tells me of his precious blood. When Christ died on the cross, he died for your sins and mine, and he had no sin. Tempted in all points like us we are, yet without sin. And so his blood was the blood of an innocent who died to pay my price and yours. So in this, oh, how I love Jesus, we have motivation for loving Jesus. He bought us with his blood. He saved us from our sins. How I love Jesus. In John 14 and verse 15, we have the big if, I like to call it. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's not hard to understand, and you don't have to explain it. When you think about it, the world out there says, don't tell me what I can and can't do, and I don't want some kind of a God telling me how to live my life. Well, you may not want God to tell you, but he has told you. And it is that if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to keep his commandments. And in verses 23 and 24, here it says, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me keeps not my words. He that loves me not keeps not my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So, do we love Jesus? Do we love him enough to keep his commandments? Is the question. And if we go to song number 121... we have the song that says, I'll be a friend to Jesus. Can you say, and can I say, we're friends of Jesus? I would hope so. In verse 3 of that song, it says, until my days shall end. That means that I've made a commitment from the time I became a child of God until the end, whether it's when Christ comes again or when I die. Faithful to Him. I will be His friend. You have a friend? I've had to bury some of my friends. I've outlived some of my friends. And it's hard to give up a friend. But we don't have to worry about Jesus being our friend if we're His friend and do the things that He says in this. In John 15 and verse 14, well, Revelation 2:10 says, I'll be a friend until the day shall end. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. And so that's what we seek in all of this. But in John the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 14, we have the big if again. And if someone doesn't want to hear what Jesus said, we can't help that, but we have to still try to tell them. John 15, beginning in verse 9, it says, even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. There is a relationship there, he said. This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. A person willing to die for his friends. And then he says, you are my friends if you do the things which I command you. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Can I be a friend of Jesus if I do not do the things that he says? That's a question that we have to consider. We have to think about. Go to 451 if you're following along. Jesus is all the world to me. Is it? It must be. Verse 3 says, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Jesus has never let anyone down, and he won't let you or me down. And so why would I not be true to him? How could I deny such a friend? One of the saddest things in the course of my life has been those individuals who were faithful to the Lord and then fell away and went back to the world or to unbelief. They denied their Savior. And there was no rescuing them because they had no interest from that time on. Following him, I know I'm right, the song says. That's confidence. We sing with confidence, following him, I know I'm right. He's my friend. That passage back in John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. He's my friend. He laid down his life for me. So Jesus is to be all the world to me. Yes, Jesus is all. John 14, 6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only means for us to reach heaven. Through his shed blood, and that's what it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's our friend, Jesus. In Luke 11 and verse 23, it tells us that there's no middle ground or room for compromise in our relationship with Christ and our recognition of Him. He says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not scatters." You're in one group or the other, he says. Which will it be if I'm a friend of Jesus? What it is it's a matter of priority. It means that I have to recognize who Christ is and work with Him according to His will and to do His will altogether. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says in this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Keep His word, I'll seek first the kingdom of God. My job is not going to be first. Even my family is not going to be first. And I am not going to be first. I have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in doing His will. Anywhere else, I can't please God. That which is first can never be placed in second place or anywhere else. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 25, we have a very familiar statement, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and exhort one another much more as you see the day approaching." Is that a commandment of Christ or not? And we could illustrate that with a lot of other ones. That some of us sometimes just seem to put out of our minds. As though coming together to worship and serve the Lord is perhaps not as important as it all be. It's a matter of love. Loving Jesus for who He is. But in song number 488, it says Jesus paid it all. And it says, "All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Romans 3 and 23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The song we sing says that Jesus paid it all. How do we feel about that? Heard just recently of a woman who had become a widow and was about to be put out this on the news and was about to be put out of her house. And she was going to lose everything because of the tragedy. And a man came forward and anonymously paid her debt. Paid everything and let her keep her house and other possessions. How do you think she felt about that individual? She didn't even know it. But he did it. And he did it because he saw her situation and wanted to do something about it. In my case, I'm a sinner, and all to Him I owe. If you look in Isaiah, the first chapter, and verse 18. "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." When God forgives sin, it's gone. And we cannot obtain forgiveness of sins without Christ paying the price of our guilt with His death on the cross. Revelation, the first chapter and verse 5 says, "He washed us from our sins by His blood." Some translations say in his blood. He washed us from our sins. Not automatically. Just all at once, he just shed his blood and everyone in the world was forgiven. But everyone in the world has access to forgiveness. And that's what's important. And that's what we need to understand when Jesus paid it all. In Revelation 7 and verse 14, it says, "These are they that washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." His blood paid the price. I was not scheduled to die on a cross. I was scheduled to die for my sins. And Jesus Christ did not become a sinner in my behalf. Instead of me having to die eternally and be lost eternally, Christ's blood was applied to my sin to pay the debt. And the idea that we transfer the sin, our sins, to Christ to make him a sinner is blasphemy. He did no sin, and no sin was found in him. He paid the debt. And we're grateful. And when we sing about that, and we sing that Jesus paid it all to him I owe, what is it that you don't owe? So Jesus is the price paid. Let's turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, to a very familiar passage that's read often when we deal with this subject. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, "For while we were yet sinners, or while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but for peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We appreciate the death that Christ died. He died for us. If you go also to the book of 1 John, and to 1 John, the 4th chapter, we're going to begin reading in verse 9. And it says, "Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation here has to do with paying the price, or the price that is paid. It's an atonement that he made for our sins. When we observe the Lord's Supper, as we did this morning in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verse 19, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What are we remembering? We're remembering the death of Christ. And we show forth his death until he comes. So in all of this, we remember him for the price that he was to pay the debt for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, it says, "You proclaim, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." We had a lesson just recently on the death of Christ on that and that issue. But what we need to understand is that casual association and identification with the Lord is not enough. There are some people who seem to be content to live on the fringe, or think they can live on the fringe and not make a full commitment to the Lord. In Luke the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able." The reason that they're not able is because they're not seeking. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock on the door, saying, Lord, open to us, and he shall answer and say to you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we did eat and drink in your presence, and you did teach in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Who wants to hear Jesus say, depart from me? Oh, some people say, well, I worship quite a bit. I was pretty faithful. I was faithful most of the time. Most of the time is not enough. It's this full-time commitment that the Lord is interested in us. In number 406, more about Jesus I would know. Verse 2, more about Jesus, let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Have you sung that song? More about Jesus, let me learn. What effort do you put forth to learn more about Jesus? Reading and studying his word and studying with others and worshiping him and hearing teaching and preaching that will help to build us all up. And the Spirit of God is our teacher. You're not listening to just a mere man. What we learn that's important is that which we read from the text of Scripture, what the Lord demands of us if we're going to be his children. Turn in your songbook to number 294. We close this lesson. We want you to think about affirmations about Jesus. My Jesus, I love you. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus paid it all. More about Jesus I would know. As we sing those affirmations, we're now going to be singing number 294. If you're subject to Christ's invitation, as he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you believe that and you need to obey the gospel, we're ready to assist you in that obedience this morning. And if you're a Christian and you need to straighten up your life in some way to really get back to loving the Lord the way he wants you to love him, we'll help you and pray with you and for you. And won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?